Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 11, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to Yeshua. He's the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. And yes, folks, we were gone last week, 4th of July, and I have not caught up on phone calls, and I know there's a couple of people that are really waiting for prayers. And brothers, if you are listening to this message, I will get to you. I promise you. Anyway, the phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, the cell phone number, text me first. It's 316-619-4886. And the text is not because of anything that you, about you, or being picky, it's because of all those soliciting phone calls. If Congress does anything, Congress, do something about that, right? Okay, yeah, do nothing, Congress, right? Okay, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube. It's on some FM stations. So you really need to pray about supporting airtime. Right now, summertime is down, and we are behind in radio payments. So pray about support us. And tonight, I'm going to try and give you a glimpse of why we do what we do tonight. Anyway, let's thank our listener bases worldwide in places like, what, Tokyo, Japan, Johannesburg, South Africa, Southampton, the United Kingdom, Brisbane, Australia, and of course cities in good old United States such as, what, Miami, Florida, San Francisco, California, Memphis, Tennessee, New Orleans, Louisiana, Wichita, you are the largest group of listeners this week to our radio programs, at least when we can tell how many listen when it goes to podcast later tonight. Remember, folks, this is a live program, and I have no idea how many folks are listening right now. I do know when you go to podcast that download it, so on and so forth. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I ask you to give me the right words tonight so that I may give the people a taste or understanding of why I do and my wife does what we do, Father. So please, bless this program tonight in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, again, I'm glad to be back talking after the 4th of July break. Yeah, we took, Frank did rerun programs. He took off, and I'm glad to see him get a break. And but that also gave us a break. But we always take off the 4th of July because, you know, it is not a holiday that I believe is based in paganism at all. And we celebrate our freedom, our independence, in this country, what people are trying to take away from us right now, and even people in your Congress. So I pray you all had a great holiday. I know that we did. We fired a lot of fireworks off with no mishaps, and even the little children got to do it. My little Harley, she's, I don't know what, Harley's about 5 years, you know, probably 6 years old, I don't know. But she did have one go off on her finger. And, you know, it was my birthday, and hats off to Harley. She had fireworks that was special. Only ones that she had, she held on to them for a couple of days and gave them to me for my birthday, and that was a special thing. But she did get a fire off fireworks on my birthday because we did have a lot of fireworks. Anyway, since we've been on last, California experienced a 7.1 earthquake and many, many hundreds of aftershocks. You know, I was actually born in San Jose, California, and I was brought to Wichita, Kansas when I was less than 3 years old. I visited once, but it was way too crowded for me. But you folks over there, I don't know if I lived there right now. I don't think I'd live there. One of the number one reasons is the quakes, and I don't know how well I could get along with some of the citizens over there in California. I guess we could say politics. But you folks in California, I pray that you're safe and that you stay safe. I know we got a lot of listeners over there, so I'm praying for you folks. Then also, since we've been gone, Iran more than once has tried to provoke a war. Persia, they're going nuts. I really think they're trying to provoke a war, and they will do just that at some point. I don't know if they believe this is the war of wars, but they remember the folks over there in Persia believe in Mahdi, and they believe that he will not come back until there's an apocalyptic war. Okay, and on another note, we have seen many, many new signs of the temple possibly going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem this year. It's some very prophetic stuff, and I'm going to cover that, and I've got it all here, all the notes for it, with my wife next week when she's here. Yeah, I miss my wife, but she's off doing her over in Marion County, doing the, well, we're in Marion County, but she's doing the food bank over there tonight, so I miss you, Linda. Okay. Anyway, but she'll be back next week. The next program tonight, later on tonight, will be It's Time of the Month for Pastor Carl Gallup. He's got a new book, and we're going to get into it. And he had a miracle visitation by an angel, really. And we're going to talk to him about that and see what we can pry out of him. And you know, folks know I like to pick on Carl Gallup. Anyway, again, we'll catch up on prayers and phone calls. I apologize to anybody I have not called yet. Anyway, people wonder what I do. You know, I used to be, when I was in the world, I used to be an outlaw biker. When I was like in the third grade, I saw this movie called Wild Angels, and I wanted to chase that Peter Fonda thing. I wanted to be a wild angel. I wanted to do that all my life. I rode a motorcycle, and I still ride occasionally. I don't find time, and nor sits in the garage mostly. But the point is that I wanted to ride a bike, and I wanted to be that outlaw biker. I finally accomplished that goal, but then I was called out of it, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But so, as I go back through my life, I think of many, many instances where it seems like now I know the Father had his hand on me. But the earliest thing that I can think of that might be of importance is something I call the angels. Now, I was living with my mother at the time, and I'm pretty sure I was past 18. I was somewhere between 17 and 19 years old. I really can't put my finger on the actual date, but I remember the room and where I was at, and it was a visitation. Yeah, a visitation by angels. At least that's what it seems to be. So I'm going to perceive you what I saw. I know that I woke up, and it's like with most open visions, it's like you're awake, but you're in a different reality. You feel totally awake. It's just like I'm sitting here now talking on the radio, but the surroundings just aren't quite what they are normally. Anyway, I woke up and sat up in the bed, and it was like kind of like a cloudy mist inside my room, and I could hear banging on the windows outside, and it was people trying to get in the windows, and I perceived some of them to be maybe my friends, but these people were trying to get in the windows, trying to get my attention, trying to get in. But as I looked around me through the mist, there were what I perceived as angels. Well, I couldn't make out their features in the mist or whatever. I knew they were angels, and they were sitting around me on this bed. Now, like I say, I was between 17 and 19 years old, and it shook me up quite a bit. I mean, that was the whole of it. It probably lasted, I don't know, maybe a minute or two or three. I don't know. But the point is it was a visitation, and I came out with the perception that they were protecting me. Well, I really believe that. I do believe that we're called. We're called early in life. In fact, the Father knows what we're going to be doing before we know what we're doing before we're even created. But the point was, is I believe that he did have his hand on me. Well, I chose to walk a different path many, many years of my life. He protected me through those years so that indeed that I could serve him as I serve him now. And I still believe that he has other things in store for me. But anyway, I'll just give you one of those instances. Now, there was a time that, like I said, that I was an outlaw motorcycle rider, and I remember one time that we went on this thing called a run, and that's just basically you go someplace and basically have a party. You go maybe 2 or 3 miles, or you might go 100 miles or 200 miles or whatever. In this particular instance that I'm talking about, we went on a run. I rode along with the president. I was invited by the president of this local motorcycle group. And I didn't ever want to be an outlaw biker. I mean, in the sense of being in a club, because they had too many rules. I didn't want to follow their rules either. But anyway, he invited me along on this run, so to speak. And so we get to the site where it's supposed to happen, and it's, you know, clear across Kansas, and we rode all day to get there. And it was fun riding over there, going to the scenes and all that stuff. But anyway, so we get there, and this one of the guys was supposed to be bringing a generator with lights and everything. And he brought the generator and everything, and but he didn't bring any lights. It figures. Anyway, he didn't bring any lights. So the president of this club says, well, he's going to ride on into this city, and he's going to pick up some lights. Well, I jumped up and said, naturally, well, I'll ride along with you. So we're riding together on this backcountry road, pavement. But, it's barely one lane, and we're flying down this road. We're probably doing 80, 90 miles an hour, which is really crazy and stupid. But I looked up, and I saw off to my side, you know, we were riding side by side in this one-lane road. And I looked off to my side, and here was this huge deer just charging me full blast. I mean, he looked like he was going 100 miles an hour. He was coming at us so fast that, and when I saw him, he looked like he was just steps away from, and I mean steps away from stepping in front of the motorcycles or hitting me in the side and knocking me into this brother that I was riding with. Well, before I could react, and there was no reaction, you couldn't slam on your brakes or do anything like that. You know, it's just too fast on a bike. It's just, you know, I figured it was just over with. In fact, it was happening so fast, I had no thoughts. The next thing that I knew, it was like, I didn't see a hand, but this is what it seemed like. It was so miraculous. It seemed like somebody would reach down and took this deer and turned this deer around to where he started running. Just 1 second he was running right at me, the next second he was running the same amount of speed the other direction away from me. And I don't even know how he turned around, because he was running straight at me. But I give credit to the Father. I believe that he saved me, probably sent his ministering angels to turn that deer around, but it saved my life. And which brought me on to, and there were so many times that I should have died, or I should have did this, or should have did that. Well, one day, you want to know how I got saved? I believed and prayed to Jesus all my life. I now pray, call him by his name, Yeshua. But I prayed all my life because in the third or fourth grade, something like that, I went with a friend of mine, Farrell Young, that was his name, went to him to a vacation Bible school, and they said, anybody want to be saved? And you walk down there, you know, walk down the aisle and prayed or whatever, but I did pray to Jesus all my life, not knowing about the sin part of it, and happened to be good, so to speak. Anyway, moving right along with that. Anyway, so I prayed to Jesus all my life. And one day as I was in the biker world, and I was driving a car that day, I was getting ready to go out of the driveway, and I got a good, as I was just in the rearview mirror, I got a real good look at myself. And I was coming from now my wife's house, the place that we lived at together, or I stayed a few days a week because I was always gone. out running around on the bike, but as I was coming out of the driveway, I noticed my reflection in the mirror, and it was not the person that I wanted to be, nor because my thoughts were my mother had not raised me to be that way. I had not raised me to be that way, so to speak. I never had a dad around, but I did not want to be that evil person that I was looking at in the mirror, and I cried. And at that point, I was even in some, and I shared it with my wife, and it took me a few days to convince her. And I had decided that day that I was going to step out of the biker's world. And from then I was let out. Later I find out that we're pregnant with my first son, and my wife, she is not supposed to be able to have a child. She miraculously gets pregnant. I find out later that she's praying also for me to come out of the world. I believe there was a prayer to my wife that helped let me out of the world. She got us pregnant when the doctors told her that she could not get pregnant without an operation, and that the father saw different. Don't believe anything. The father saw different. And so even the doctors was amazed at it. So I came out of the world. After coming out of the world, there's a lot of other stories, but after coming out of the world, and I knew that I needed to get away from all of those people. You know, you can't stay in a bar and get sober. You can't stay hanging out with the same people and get right if the people around you aren't right. So I had to get away from everybody. So that's when we chose to move out of the city of Wichita. And I really had to drag my wife kicking and screaming because she really didn't want to leave Wichita, but we chose to go back to where her family lived at, and that's out here in the Flint Hills. And so I finally convinced her to move there, and we moved there and stayed for a while. Well, needless to say, I had also gotten in trouble with the police, just I was trying to get out. Satan saw that I was leaving, and so what did Satan do? He brought the world down on me and almost sent me to jail for 25 years. But I told the father that if he would just deliver me from not going to jail, that other than raising my family, the rest of my life belonged to him. You understand? I made a promise to the father. I said, the rest of my life, all of my life belongs to you, except for the time that it takes to raise my family. So that I made that call, and I was delivered from that. Well, I got put on probation for a couple of years, and I knew I couldn't stay good in Wichita, so we left Wichita. And moving out of Wichita, the next event that happened was after being in a couple of years in the city where her mother was at, this landlord that I'd been renting from wanted me to do some nefarious things, and I said, no, I didn't want to do that, and we had a disagreement, so he called my probation officer and said a bunch of lies about me and said I was dirty. And so when I went in to see the probation officer, he said, you're going to jail. And I said, going to jail for what? He says, you're dirty. You've been doing this and that, and you're dirty. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, yeah, you are. I know, it's a fact. Well, he even put handcuffs out on the table. So we did the year analysis, whatever, and it came back clean, and it really made him mad. And he said, nobody in here wants you to be here. He says, nobody wants to see you. I'm your third probation officer. And so he got mad, and he ordered me out of his office, and he said, pay off your court costs and don't come back. Now, I didn't know what that meant. You know, I didn't know if I was going to prison or what that meant, but I paid off the court costs, and about a month later, I got a letter in the mail when I was wondering if I had to go see him again. That released me out of probation over half of the term. I was supposed to do a three-year suspended sentence thing, but they let me out after a year and a half because of what this man had did trying to put me in prison. It led to me getting out of jail sooner. Well, so we was kicked out of the house, and we went looking for a place to be. We couldn't find no place to rent. I thought we was going to have to go back to Wichita, no place out in the country, and crying about it. And finally, I asked my wife, she'd been out looking. I said, did you see any place at all? And she says, well, I saw this place over in Florence, Kansas. And I said, okay, well, let's go look at it. Well, the night before, I'd had this dream, and it was another vision. It was an open vision. I woke up again, sitting on, and I don't even know if I was sitting on the edge of the bed, but I woke up. And I looked and I was in the sky and I was flying and looking down at the ground, and I knew there was a presence with me, although I couldn't see it. And I said, as I looked down, I says, is this Kansas? As I saw all these hills. And he said, yes, this is Kansas. Well, little did I realize until the next day when we went to look that what I saw was actually coming in, was the pass coming into Florence, Kansas. Anyway, and as we passed through that pass, I pointed up on this hill. I told my wife, I said, you know, that'd be a good place for a cross up there on top of that hill. Later on, a couple of years later, the farmer would erect a cross on that hill. But anyway, we came into Florence and we found this house for back taxes. And so that got me out of Wichita, Kansas. And so that's where I'm at with that. But I've got some more to this story. We bought the house for back taxes. It's like I paid $1,400 for total for the deed and the taxes, and I rose four children in it and grandchildren. And so, you know, I don't live in some big expensive house, although we did a lot of work on it. But that's the point. Folks, if you want to know more about us, you can go to prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. There's some more to this story that I'm going to give you after break. But y'all go to break time and check us out at prophecyhour.com. Share, of course, if you can't help us out financially, share these radio programs with other people, because the larger the audience that we have, then the more people that will end up donating to support this ministry and the Wichita Mission Church, which, by the way, we're in our 20th year of doing. So, folks, we'll be right back in, I guess it's about 4 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
The English word Easter is derived from the names Eostra, Istra, Astarte, or Ashtaroth. Astarte was introduced into the British Isles by the Druids and is just another name for Beltis or Ishtar of the Chaldeans and Babylonians. The book of Judges records that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Ashtaroth and forsook the Lord and served him not. Easter is just another name for Ashtaroth, the Queen of Heaven, and was not considered a Christian festival until the 4th century. Spring festivals in honor of the pagan fertility goddesses and the events associated with them were celebrated at the time of Easter. Early Christians celebrated Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even, and a study of the dates on which Easter is celebrated will reveal that it is not observed in accordance with the prescribed time for the observance of Passover. After much debate, the Nicene Council of 325 AD decreed that Easter should be celebrated on the first Sunday after the vernal equinox. History reveals that the pagan festival of Easter originated as the worship of the sun goddess, the Babylonian Queen of Heaven, who was later worshipped under many names, including Ishtar, Sibyl, the Great Mother, or Astarte, for whom the celebration of Easter is named. Easter is not another name for the Feast of Passover. It is a transliteration of the name of a pagan fertility goddess. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're back, and I've been telling you my story, or our story. Now, let's remember in this that part of the reason I believe that I came out of the world was because the Father gave me the right woman, my other half, that I could not do any of these things without her, and her deep prayers is what helped lead me, if not was not even, maybe it could have even been a deciding factor to bring me out of the world. But indeed, so sometimes in this testimony, if I just say I, let me tell you what, every time I say I is not complete without my other half, which is my wife. And so now let's move along with that. So I ended up in another city, and my body had been ravaged by all these years of doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, and let alone I have disc out of my back. I've got two discs in my lumbar out and a whole bunch of problems. I spent the first year after coming out of the world laying on the floor in pain. During that period of time, I did nothing but study the Bible. I even took an ordination course with one ministry and completed it and got ordained. Then there was Set Free Ministry, which gave me a Doctor of Divinity degree honorarily for whatever reason when I submitted to them all the work that I did, and so on and so forth. But those degrees and ordinations mean nothing but because I was called by the Father. Hours and hours of prayer and study for a few years. In fact, I did. Then we came to Florence, and I'm still studying the Bible and everything, but I'm just saying. So then we got over here in the city that we're at, and one day while I was, my next real recollection was one day while I was laying on the bed, and I was listening to a radio program. It wasn't a religious program, but it was about a lot of bad junk going on. It was a talk radio program on AM or FM radio, I don't remember, but as I was laying there, I heard this voice that I came well to know, and it was, you know, speaking, you know, inside of me. You know, I assumed that it's the Holy Spirit. I know it's from the Father. So anyway, it says, you're my minister. And I went, what? And it says, you're my minister. And I went, then I remembered back to the promise that I made that I would do whatever he wanted me to do as long as he allowed me to care for my family. Well, that was loud, and it was in my head, and it was there for a while. But I didn't know what it meant, you know. And so I prayed back to it, and I said, well, what does that mean? You want me to cut my hair? You want me to change the way that I look and so on and so forth? And then I got the message, I have use of you as you are. I have use of you as you are. So, meaning in appearance, you know, clearly not in the heart, because I was spiritually changing and growing every day from the ingestion of the word and from prayer. So not long after that, I was hooked up with my sister Sharon brought me one of the very first Prophecy Club newsletters that ever was. And, you know, that's when they first started. So I went and went to the Prophecy Club. It was in Topeka, Kansas, and I saw Don McElvaney the first time, and boy, I thought, really, this is prophecy things, and I really need to be into this. In the meantime, the Father had been ministering me. I've been reading his word. You know, it come up to the Sabbath question. You know, the first thing I figured when I came out of the world was, okay, I need to go to church, right? That's what most people think. I tried to find a church that lined up with the Bible. Guess what? I couldn't find any. I tried a Seventh-day Adventist church. Well, they kept the seventh day. Felt like the spirit was out of the place. It was just kind of dead air, you know what I mean? And it was the same way with the Church of God International. It was the same way. We went to that. And I went to some regular churches, you know, Sunday churches. Pentecostal was my flavor, you know. You can call it more charismatic. In fact, there was a charismatic preacher that did the wedding ceremony for my wife and I after we had been living together for I don't know, 4 years or whatever. I don't know what it was exactly. He did marry us. But the Father ordered me out of that church. When his wife got up to preach one day, he ordered us out of that church, and we didn't go back. So we were keeping the Sabbath, and there was so many people. We're in Kansas. Come on. You were branded as a Seventh-day Adventist if you didn't, you know, if you kept the seventh day, and we wasn't Seventh-day Adventist. I now call it Messianic, but at that time, I had no name for it. It's just biblical. I did the research on the Sabbath, and I'm telling you, that there is historical proof where the Sabbath was changed. I read about it in a book about Constantine the Great. I'm not going to go into that because of time factor, but once we started keeping the Sabbath, then the blessings really started coming. And even though we were poor, we gave the very, very first 10% of everything we had to the Father. We didn't say, oh, well, if I have enough at the end of it, we gave him the first. And we've always gave him the first. So anyway, so we moved on, moving right along with that. So we prayed and prayed, and we spent a lot of years with no fellowship at all whatsoever, except our family. And her family and my wife's family shunned us, that lived all around us. People shunned us because, oh, those guys are just keep, you know, we had a tough time. And now we ended up with, you know, raising four children that way. Well, anyway, so I started helping, ended up, when Stan started coming to Wichita and everything, I volunteered at a Ron Wyatt meeting to help Stan, you know, just simply carry books and things out to his minivan that he was using to travel around to do these seminars. Well, from that point on, I got a relationship with him, and I started helping him. And at that point, I was introduced to a lot of different important people who Stan said, you know, he gave me reference. I started a newsletter because of Stan's newsletter to combat. I thought, well, I can do better than that. But, you know, we won't go into that. But I did a newsletter, which we still are trying to get postage to mail one out today. But the point is so I started helping him. And then one day he was having this prophetic meeting, and he says, Dan, are you coming? You're going to come help out in Topeka for this prophetic, this prophets, apostles, and prophets meeting. Are you going to come help out? And I said, well, I'm not a prophet or apostle or anything. He says, no. He says, you do have a calling on you. He said, I believe that you're a prophet, but that matters not to me. I'm just telling you what Stan said. And so we went there, and he anointed all the prophets and different people, you know, within their anointing, what they were. And him and a messianic minister dumped, like, it felt like a gallon of oil on my head. It took a bunch of showers to get it out. But I'm telling you, though, after that anointing that was poured on me by those two, then I actually started hearing a lot clearer from the Father, and a lot of things started changing. It was shortly after that that I started helping a ministry out in Wichita, Kansas, that I run into these two bikers that were his laboring few. And they wanted me to come over and check out their little church and what they were doing. I ended up helping them out over there and starting some prophetic meetings and things. And it was during this period of time that I cast that demon out of that child. If you haven't ever heard that testimony, there was a 12-year-old child that we cast demons out of that I prayed his arms and his body down to the floor when nobody could hold him down with invisible chains by the blood of Yeshua on one arm, the blood of Yeshua on the other arm. And he stayed down, and he couldn't move. He'd pull his arms up, and there was something holding his arms back. You could see it. And right after that, in one of the instances, I had another miraculous run-in with some things. I remember my daughter was very, very young, and she was sitting at the dining room table. And as she's sitting at the dining room table, she could view the kitchen where I was standing at. But I was standing in the kitchen, and I heard this thing, and I looked up, and I saw this huge, huge ball of, I'll say, fire of electric, like electric light. Have you ever seen a power line pop, you know, in two, and you see these big balls of fire pop, pop, pop? It was like that, and it was rushing at me at an incredible speed. In fact, I ducked, and it was like it just went through me. And I was astounded, and I looked around, and I looked over there, and my young daughter, she had saw the same thing. And I said, did you see something? Bootsy, did you see something? That's my daughter. I said, did you see something? She said, yeah, Dad, I saw what looked like the hand of God or something reaching out of that fire trying to get you. I don't know what it was, but I was told later by people that it was spiritual warfare. In fact, during that same period of time, I remember one time I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and all of a sudden I was being drawn up out of my body towards the ceiling, and I said, no, 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 my children, meaning who would care for them, because I felt like I was being taken. I don't know whether it was from bad or good, but then immediately I was back in my body. Had many miraculous things happen to this minister over the years. And then one night, now we're talking about the Wichita Mission Church. Let me get a sip of water, and we'll go on. After many, many years, it was, well, 20 years ago, I had started this thing because I helped Stan do his newsletters, and I'd start working on the Internet about this time. This is over 20 years ago. This is like 98, 99. In 99, I was working. I started a news list. I think I might have started in 98 for the newsletters where I do research on the Internet. And I had all this leftover information because this information would go out in a printed newsletter, and you could only put so much in it. And so I had all this leftover information, and I didn't know what to do with it. And at that time, they had just started Yahoo Groups, to my knowledge anyway. So I made a Yahoo group called the Prophetic News Service. Now, that still exists today. In fact, you can find it on our website, prophecyhour.com. You can find a box to subscribe. And all it is, I'll warn you ahead of time, it's just mountains of news. It's just the leftover research. Like, I still do research for newsletters and radio and for what's going on. The leftover research goes there. And that means daily, now it's daily breaking news. And you can also, so just, you don't have to subscribe to it. If you go to prophecyhour.com, that's what you'll see at prophecyhour.com. Mostly all those articles are breaking news things. Okay. But so not a lot of people were doing what I was doing because I'm a researcher. I'm a really, really good researcher. Ministries, Steve Quayle, for one, subscribed to this newsletter list, Stan Johnson, and some others. subscribe to our newsletter list because they wanted the information, and it was given in a timely manner. Anyway, so one night, this is like around 2000, which, you know, like I say, we're in our 20th year, so this was in 2000. We started June of 2000, the Mission Church. But I was laying in bed. I was trying to go to sleep. It's on a, which you, most of you folks call Saturday night, you know, but it was actually, that's, to me, it's the first day of the week once it hits dark on the Sabbath. But I was laying in bed and I heard a voice, heard that voice again, said, feed the people. I went, what? It said, feed the people. Well, I knew who it was and I knew what he was trying to get me to do. And I kept saying, well, you know, by then, folks, I had a little building in Wichita, Kansas, over on Douglas, where we had a congregation, a little, what I call now Messianic congregation, that was, you know, it had about 26, 28 people in it, something like that, and family, and I was starting to build it. Well, so the Father kept me up. This voice kept me up and said, you know, feed the people. And I said, I could barely pay rent in Wichita, let alone feed the people. Finally, after it seemed being pointed out things to me about the Sabbath, and at least they needed a meal before the Sabbath, I needed to commit to doing something. So finally, I said, okay, I want to go to sleep. Let me go to sleep. And so I got up and I committed to it on a prophetic news service. And I said, okay, I'm going to start helping the poor. Starting next week, boom, sent it out to my list, and that was that, and I went to sleep. The following Tuesday, I went over to Wichita, Kansas, and because I've always been going over on Tuesdays and Fridays, see, so I go over there on Tuesday, and I'm looking for, I don't know where to how to feed the poor, feed the homeless, anything, and I tried calling around and everything, and finally this one agency told me, said, well, there's these two ladies that are stealing our people. Stealing our people, really? Talking about the poor, right? Well, they're stealing our people. They're down there feeding in the park every day. Maybe go down there and see what's going on. So I went down there to the park, which they used to call Wino Park in Wichita, Kansas, at St. Francis and Douglas. And I watched these two women, and they had a huge line of people. I'm going to guess there was over 100. It could be less because I didn't count them, right? That's what it looked like. And they got these pots, and they're feeding, giving them bread and feeding them something out of the pots. I don't know exactly what. And I watched them go through this whole process. And at the end of the process, I said, okay, well, maybe, you know, this is who I need to talk to. So I waited until they was getting ready to leave, and I got my courage up, and I walked over there, and I said, now, this is a really, really old woman and her partner who's younger. And I said, now, you may think this is silly, but I really feel like that I was kept up all night this last Saturday night, that I was kept up all night and I was told to feed the poor, and I think it's you that I'm supposed to be helping. And this woman just burst into tears, and she grabbed me and hugged me, and she said, well, you know, I was up all Saturday night praying that the Lord, and she said the Lord, that the Lord would send somebody to help us. And I went, really? And that was such a huge confirmation. Later that night, I went and gathered her up some other food to donate to her cause. But I went with her under the bridges to pray on people and deliver some food. And I remember praying on one gentleman. She told me he was sick under the bridge, and it was so pitch dark in there. I couldn't even see the guy, and I reached out my hands and touched him and prayed on him. And that's how we started our ministry. We started helping them a couple of days a week, and then they retired. And so we went on. We've been doing it 2 days a week ever since. You don't know how many miracle prayers that we said and how many times I went under bridges and in remote places and found people and did first aid and did miracle prayers, gave out Bibles and so on and so forth and ministered to them. And we're still doing that. We're in our 20th year of doing this. And now the people all know me. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're a blessing to the people. And that's what everybody should be. But I was miraculously kept up to do this. Now, but after that day that we went under the bridge, I still said to the Father, I really need another confirmation. You know how people are. And so the next day when I got up, the phone, I had phone messages, right? And I played it back, and one of them was Steve Quayle. And I said, really, Steve Quayle, what's he want, you know? Trying to reach you. The phone rang a little bit later. I picked it up with Steve Quayle. And he says, hello, Dan. This is Dan. I said, yeah, this is Dan. And he said, well, look, Brother Dan, he says, He says, can you take a delivery over there? And I said, Steve, I didn't order nothing. He says, no, I read about what you were doing with the ladies on the internet, and I want to help you. And I said, okay. I said, okay, just send it to Florence. And he said, no, I don't think you understand. Do you have a forklift? And I said, forklift, what do you mean? Steve Quayle sent a semi-load of food, and it was like $20-some thousand his cost to send this food to me and for a donation. And that was our combination of getting started, and that was by Steve Quayle. But if you go to, if you want Steve Quayle's testimony, Steve will tell you that he said this first time he ever heard the audio, he told me on our radio program and said it to others, this the first time he ever heard an audio voice from the Father was as he was on his forklift, and it went something like that. He was driving in the warehouse on his forklift, and a voice told him, says, you need to stick with Dan on this. And it about knocked him off the forklift. And so the Father spoke to him with an audio voice to help our ministry. And he did help some afterwards. And again, so then a few years later, how did radio get started? A few years later, because people started hitting the internet, we started radio as a way to, actually started off as a way to combat RG Stare, because, and we have to go into that sometime, the story of how I confronted him by visiting his compound. But after shortwave for 2 years, I was asked, by James Lloyd to, if I wanted to be on American Voice Radio. And so a supporter gave me the money for a deposit, and we became on American Voice Radio, and I've been here since the start, about 2004, I think that is. I'm sure Frank can correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, so we started on radio, and radio was then, at that point, radio was decided that, yeah, this will be a good thing because it will help support the ministry, because we needed a way to support the Wichita Mission Church, which, by the way, is 60 miles just one way away. So, you know, round trip, 120 miles. I usually put about 300 miles on the truck when I go 200 to 300 miles every trip, something like that, roughly. It just depends on what errands I have to run or what I have to take people. So we've been on radio ever since. And then all those meetings, remember now, I had stopped working with helping Stan at this point, although I do, he does get resource from me now, and we're friends. We've been friends for a very, very long time, for all that time, over 20 years. And he supports this ministry. But I sewed into his radio ministry, and so by doing that, you know, some of my very first guests were people that used to be Prophecy Club speakers. And when we first started off on radio, hardly anybody was putting their archives up on the internet like we are now. They call them podcasts. We just still call them radio archives, but everybody else calls them podcasts. But the point is, so we started radio back then, so we've been doing radio, you know, started with shortwave in 2001. And on American Voice Radio, basically, when they started. And so we've been on radio ever since. And the first guest, like I said, because Stan had introduced to me, they knew I was a credible guy and I was a good researcher, that some of my very first guests were people that I had met as speakers at the Prophecy Club. So thanks again, Stan. I appreciate it. Your ministry blessed us in many ways. Even though that we don't see eye to eye on so many things, we are still friends, and you should be able to do that within the body of Messiah. Even if you should be able to agree to disagree, and still be able to have a functional relationship. But again, I would not be anywhere if it wasn't for my wife, because the Father gave me the right person that completed me. She completed me. Well, of course, He completed us, but you understand what I mean. So I give her a lot of credit. But pray about it. Pray about supporting what we do. Now, maybe you like my story, don't like my story. Well, we really do need your help, because now we're in this thing where what so many ministries, including Stan's ministry, you know, gets in this thing called the summer slump. You know, I don't know if it's because people have gone to vacations or what the story really is, but for those summer months, the donations go through the floor. You know, we really need your help in order to keep the Mission Church open and to stay on radio, because even though I have this relationship with Frank, yes, they have to pay bills over there at American Voice Radio too. And I need to pay radio, and I need to get food and things for the Mission Church. So pray about a donation, folks. Pray about a donation. And if you have a subject that you want us to talk about on radio, send it to me. I'll gladly do it. And again, if you need a prayer, you can contact me, and I'll do it right now. We're trying to get caught up, and I apologize to anybody that I have not got caught up with yet. So please, please pray about support for Wichita Mission Church. And, of course, we need large print King James Version Bibles. And you know what? Also, I just pray that some of these folks that have promised to do things for this ministry and have told me that they'd do things would indeed do the things that they have said. Because, you know, after all, the Father takes your words as a law unto him. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We're now in our 20th year. And I hope my story didn't somehow offend you or anything. And, you know, so pray about it. So we really get no help from any government agencies. We do get help from one this one place, but I don't think it's a government agency that's been giving us hygiene things. But we don't people. It's only people like you that listen to us on radio and read our newsletter, which we need postage to mail out, that support us after all these years. So we care for people in a part of town most people don't like to drive through. In fact, I had a brother recently tell me, say, "Hey, Pastor Dan, I just got married, so congratulations, I'd like to meet the bride." And he said, "Well, brother, I don't know about that, because she has a child, and you're in a very dangerous part of town." Yeah, we're one of the most dangerous parts of Wichita, Kansas, and in Wichita, Kansas now, their violence level is twice the natural average, the national average for violence. Wichita is twice the national average. Anyway, but we minister to people in a part of town most people don't even want to go through. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, because of love. We treat them like family. We don't treat them harshly. I mean, yeah, sometimes it happens that way, but love is the answer. We treat people as family. People call us, you call me Pastor Dan and Sister Linda, or actually Mom and Dad is the thing you hear nowadays. We don't have any set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And that's even the agency tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. Because you see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And we're all, even you, are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers' coat keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. You can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me or text me. If you don't wish to help with the poor, please consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air. If it's for radio, mark it for radio, please. Now, again, contact us. Tune in next week. My wife will be on with me, and I know you all like to hear her. And also, Pastor Carl Gallups will be on with me in the next hour, but there's a break first, okay? Remember. But remember, what do you want to remember? One thing that you need to remember, that there is only one God, one real God, and he is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Again, pray about supporting the Messiah's branch. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father would bless and keep you, and that his face would shine upon that you, and that he would be gracious to you and give you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.